भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 36, The Slaying of Arishta, the Bull Demon, text number 25. Mahamatra Tvaya Bhadra,
Mahamatra Tvaya Bhadra,
Rangadvaryupaniyatam,
Rangadvaryupaniyatam,
Dvipakuvalayapa, Dvipa kuvalaya pido, jahitena mamahito, mahamatra tvaya bhadra, rangadvaryupaniyatam, dvipa kuvalaya pido, Jahitena mamahito, Mahamatra tvaya bhadra, Rangadvayupaniyatam, Dvipakuvalaya pido, Jahitena mamahito. O elephant keeper, Tvaya, by you, Bhadra, my good man, Ranga, of the arena, Dvari, to the doorway, Upaniyatam, should be brought. Dvipaha. Actually, it's Dvipaha. It's not Dvipaha. Yeah. The elephant. Kuvalaya Pidaha. Named Kuvalaya Pida. Jahi. Destroy. Tena. With that elephant. Mama. My. Ahito, enemies. You elephant keeper, my good man, should position the elephant, Kuvalaya Pida, at the entrance to the wrestling arena and have him kill my two enemies. Kamsa is disturbed after hearing the good news from Narada Muni. There's no purport here. Arabhyatam dhanur jagas chaturdasyam yatavidhi visasantu pashun medyan bhutarajayami dhushe. Commence the bow sacrifice on the Chaturdasi day in accordance with the relevant Vedic injunctions. In ritual slaughter, offer the appropriate kinds of animals to the magnanimous Lord Shiva.
Ityagyapyartatantragya ahuyayadu pungavam krihitva panina panim tato kruram uvachaha.
Having thus commanded his ministers, Kamsa next called for Akura, the most eminent of the Yadus, Kamsa knew the art of securing personal advantage. And thus he took Akura's hand in his own and spoke to him as follows.
Bobo danapate mahayam kriyatam maitramaditaha nanyastvato hitat tamo vidyate boja vishnishu.
My dear Akura, most charitable one. What's this called?
Flattery.
Flattery. Yes, flattery. Flattery. Bobo. Dana pate. Bobo means very dear. My dear. Dana pate. Most generous person. Please do me a friendly favor out of respect. Kriyatam, please do. Maitram, adritaha. Maitram means, you're a friend of mine, so do me a favor. Friendly favor. Among the Bhojas and Vishnis, there is no one else as kind to us as you. This is one way of approaching somebody for a donation. My dear friend, you are the most dear to me. You are the most magnanimous and charitable person. You are my friend. There is no one more dear to me than you. Please help me. In fact, it's recommended. If you want somebody to help in a situation, then that's what you ask them. I have a problem. Can you help me? One way of getting people to do things is to ask them nicely. We were looking at some job descriptions the other day. Chintaripa was reading me some job descriptions out of a book on hospitality, because she's doing this course at Gopal's. The devotees at Gopal's are doing this course on hospitality. It's very interesting that in the job description of a team leader, it mentions that actually the team leader should be able to get people to do things, but without demanding that they get done. You know, I'm the boss, you do what I tell you to do. Now, nobody responds very well to that kind of thing. But a good, in the job description, is be able to encourage people in a friendly fashion, but still get things done without demanding that they get done. Same goes here. If you want somebody to help you, then the best way is to ask them very, very nicely. I've got a bit of a problem. Do you think you can help me out? Excuse me. It's interesting here. Kamsa knew the art of securing personal advantage, because we don't do these things simply to get personal advantage. Right? As devotees, we're not interested in securing personal advantage. In fact, a devotee is a person who, when he engages or assists others in rendering service to Krishna, then everybody benefits. Isn't it? Everybody benefits from that engagement. That's the devotee's interest, it's not for himself. Whereas for the demons, especially in diplomatic affairs, Kamsa's expert in diplomatic affairs, so he's now praising Akura. But his motivation is, I'll get Akura to aid me in destroying my enemies. This is a demonic mentality. He's a demon. So many enemies I have, I will destroy them. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the mentality of the demon. He is my friend, I'll exploit him. He is my enemy, I'll kill him. If you don't help me in getting my sense gratification, then you're my enemy, therefore I will kill you. If you assist me in my sense gratification, then you're my friend. Yeah? You can soon find out who your friends are. When they desert you in tough times. No more sense gratification, I'll see you later. Mind you, the devotees are actually the friends of everybody, whether in good or bad times. Because they want to see people progress in their Krishna consciousness, so their concerns are somewhat different. So, Kamsa is setting the stage here.
Atastvam asvita shomya karya gora vasadhanam yatendro vishnu masritya svartam adya gamad vibhu.
Oh, gentle Akrura. Of course, Akrura was a gentleman. So his glorification is not wrong. You always carry out your duties soberly. Soumya means, O gentle one. Karya gaurava sadhanam. Right? You carry out your duties soberly. And therefore I am depending on you. Finding a dependable person is not easy. Right? Finding somebody that you can depend upon. Not easy. And here are the symptoms of a dependable person. You always carry out your duties soberly. Just as powerful Indra took shelter of Lord Vishnu to achieve his goals. I wonder what he's referring to there.
Katschananda prajam tatra suttav anaka dundubhe asateta vihanena ratena yama charam ratena yama chiram.
Please go to Nanda's village where the two sons of Anakadundubi are living. Who's Anakadundubi? Vasudev is a nice name for Vasudev. Anakadundubi. And without delay, bring them here on this chariot. So there's a purport here. Courtesy of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti gives the following interesting note. When King Kamsa said, with this chariot, he pointed with his index finger to a brand new attractive chariot. Right, this is a, if you want a man to do something for you, then give him a brand new car. Right? Kamsa thought that since Akrura was innocent by nature, when he saw this fine new vehicle, he would naturally want to drive it and quickly bring the two boys back. If I want somebody to go on errand, I need you to go on an errand for me. Here's a brand new Porsche. Just whip down to the post office and get the mail for us. Oh, yeah, great. Take the car for a spin. Of course, Akura is a great devotee, so he's not really interested in the chariot. But what was his appreciation of the situation? Very interesting. The actual reason Akura went on a new chariot was that it would have been clearly inappropriate for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to mount a chariot that had already been enjoyed by the wicked Kamsa. Right? So only the best for Krishna. Brand new things. Only the best. Even for the devotees. You know, sometimes people drop off all of their old clothes at the temple. Thinking that they're helping out the poor devotees. The poor beggars, I suppose, in one sense. But actually it's not appropriate to give your old clothes like that to the devotees. In fact, the charity is, giving in charity is, especially you see it on events like weddings and other festivals. In the Krishna book it mentions, when the brahmanas would come to do the yajnas and so forth, then they would be given new cloth, gifts of gold, they'd be given cows. You know, that they would be given new items, not second-hand hand-me-downs. Right? They would be given new items. Because that would then be offered as part of the yajna. Right? It's offered to Krishna. The brahmanas take, it's described how the brahmanas are acting as the mouth of Lord Vishnu. So when we're feeding the brahmanas, then actually we're feeding Lord Vishnu. Of course, the brahmanas, we have to be careful in these situations. Not the brahmanas should think, yes, we're as good as Vishnu, so therefore we can eat his offerings. But the brahmanas are engaged in worshipping Krishna. So whatever they're given, they then offer it to Krishna. There's an interesting exchange in the the story of Maharaj Prithu, where Maharaj Prithu is coronated. You know, he's installed as the king. But he doesn't want the kingdom. He says, the kingdom is not mine, actually. It belongs to the brahmanas. But the brahmanas say, no, you're the... You know, he's saying, no, it's okay, I don't... The brahmanas say, no, we're giving it to you to look after. It's your responsibility to look after it. Actually, it doesn't belong to any of us. It belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so, therefore, it should be used in his service. So the devotees... accept the gifts. We discussed this before. People bring gifts to the temple. They give it to the brahmanas or to the devotees. And then the devotees offer everything to the Lord and then distribute it as prasadam. That's the mood. The opulence and the wealth that is brought by the citizens is not actually meant for the brahmanas. The problem is that the brahmanas can become, they get their, actually, it's mentioned how the sages, the sadhus and the saintly persons actually keep themselves poor deliberately. Right? Keep themselves deliberately impoverished, if you like, so that they're not affected by the wealth. Otherwise, one can become attached to wealth, position, fame, new motor cars. Right? And of course, Kamsa, because he is a manipulative fellow, and he's aware of these factors, right? So therefore, he thinks, I can influence Akura to do what I want. One of the ways that I'll do it is praise him, tell him what a good fellow he is, but then also offer him a brand new, you know, top of the line chariot. You know, you could imagine it must have had healthy horse, you know, healthy mature horses of age to carry it. So it's very attractive. He's the king. He'd have the best of everything. But Akura wasn't seeing it like that. And the devotees don't see it like that. It's inappropriate for Krishna to use something which has already been utilized by others. You know, sometimes people want to give jewellery to the deities that they've worn themselves, but it's not appropriate, actually. And in fact, it requires sometimes tact to deal with people. They bring things and then you don't accept them and they get offended. Right? They get offended. Like, why won't you take my offering? But they don't understand this subtle principle of offering everything first to Krishna, and that we can't offer things that have already been used. In the service of the deity and in Krishna's service, it's not appropriate. The best, or whatever we have that is the best, and what is seasonal, fresh, you know, especially when it comes to food, bhoga. The mood of the offering, very important, actually, very, you know. On the one hand, we can learn all of the external, you know, you have to do it this way, you have to offer this thing, it should be done at this time. Of course, that is part of the mental state of offering. But at the same time, we're not automaton, we're not robots, we shouldn't do it robotically. We should also have this mood of offering in devotion. And that's part of that sentiment. Yes, let me offer the best. Let me offer the freshest. Let me offer the nicest. Let me do the nicest offering for Krishna's pleasure so that Krishna will be pleased. There's a food movement. I forgot what they call themselves now. That's right. Slow food. Right, there's this movement called slow food movement, because you know you've heard of the fast food, right? McDonald's. We won't mention any names, but that sort of is an establishment that comes to mind. You can come into our establishment, and we'll give you the quickest meal. So that's what they call fast food. But everybody knows that, you know, if you eat at a fast food place, for a week, say for example, this is what I say to the students sometimes, you know, they ask, you know, why are you vegetarians? And then I would generally mention about how we offer our food to Krishna. And we prepare everything in a mood of love. You know, we're cooking for a person, we're cooking for persons. So, you know, you eat in a fast food outlet every meal for a week. I ask them, you know, how do you feel at the end of the week? Usually people say, oh, sick. Unhealthy, horrible. Huh? So there is a reaction to that. There's now what they call a slow food movement, which means that you put attention into buying the freshest local ingredients, which are in season, and that you cook it with care. You know, there's actually a science to this, and even the top, you know, restaurant people in the world know this. Not just like the British chef Jamie Oliver, he's just come to Australia to open up a couple of restaurants. Now he knows that. They know that. They know this principle that you get the best ingredients, you prepare it. You create an environment where your friends can come. You choose the right drinks. Of course, you know, not things that we would necessarily imbibe in. But still, we do the same thing. Actually, it comes from Krishna consciousness, actually. This whole idea. You know, cooking for your friends. I remember before I became a devotee, I was the cook. My wife didn't do the cooking. I used to do all the cooking. Somehow, when we became devotees, and it switched around. My wife keeps on saying to me, "Why? You know, how come you used to cook, but how come now I'm cooking?" Actually, I used to think I was a really good cook, and Korma let me go and cook a couple of offerings for the deities. But after he tasted, he said, "Out of here!" You know, I think I cooked about two offerings, and that was it. I was never allowed back in the kitchen. But I remember I used to enjoy cooking for my friends. And if my friends wouldn't come, I'd be disappointed. You know, there's a certain satisfaction that you get from seeing people satisfied having a meal that I haven't experienced for a long time. Although, no, actually I have. Because we get the same satisfaction by serving. Somebody else can cook, but we'll serve. And then you see, people are satisfied from that. And we get satisfaction. So also, when we're cooking for Krishna, Krishna's a person, he's our friend. Right? Krishna's a person, he's our friend, he's our best friend. So naturally, we want to take the best ingredients and put the best effort into making Krishna satisfied. Just like we get satisfied when we cook for our friends. And then we see them all happy and relaxed. You know, Chintu Ripa was worried the other day that when she cooked the breakfast for the devotees, that they didn't get enough to eat. But then when she saw a few of the devotees reclining, you know, she could tell, oh, no, they must have had enough to eat because they start to fall asleep. And when people relaxed afterwards, as you could see. So Krishna also, Akura is thinking, yes, brand new chariot. Good, that's the right thing to offer to Krishna. You know, this is the right offering for Krishna. Not, oh, beauty, new chariot, I'll take it for a drag. Of course he did get to do that. He did get to take the new chariot for a ride. Zip down to Vrindavan from Mathura, pick up Krishna. He was in ecstasy. Because he was going to see Krishna. He got to drive the new chariot as well. But he was more in ecstasy because he was going to see his friend Krishna. It comes up later on. He offers prayers, going to Vrindavan. He's thinking, now I'm going to see. When you're going to Vrindavan, it's a nice chapter to read. Akura's meditation on going to Vrindavan. He's thinking, now I'm going to go and see Krishna. What great fortune I have. So it's interesting, this is the, you know, this slow food movement is actually one of our key, unique, what do they call it, marketing, what do they call it? There's something that they call it. Unique, it's what makes us unique. We're not into fast food. We like to cook food with... Yes, it's a competitive advantage. It's a fact. It's a competitive advantage. The gentleman who's teaching the course to the devotees down at Gopath, he said, the atmosphere in this place is fantastic. Right? He said, there's something, I just can't put my finger on it. But there's just something about this place that's really good. I just like being here. Right. So you know, when we're cooking, although you know our kitchen may be, you know, a bit of commotion on occasion, that's still part of the devotion, right? It's love and devotion that comes out of our kitchens. That's why the prasadam tastes so good. Of course it should also be cooked, you know, by proficient chefs and, you know, cooks and so forth. But really, you know, the Hare Krishna movement is, you know, we started the slow food movement ages ago by cooking things nicely for Krishna and then making an environment which is, you know, it's pleasant to be in. And of course that's, you know, that's the mood or the atmosphere of the spiritual realm where everything is done for Krishna's pleasure. So it's and of course Prabhupada did say, you know, the Hare Krishna movement would be known as the kitchen religion. You know, we are the kitchen religion. This is our preaching in many respects. You know, if we want to influence people, one way, what do they say? The best way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? Bunjate te twagam pa pam. Not only that, they get purified by taking prasadam, right? Jagjashishtasana shanto. The devotees are described in the Bhagavad Gita actually as shanta. Peaceful. A lady ring me up yesterday and she was saying, oh, I really like associating with the Hare Krishna devotees. They're all just such peaceful, nice, just peaceful, nice people. I said, well, we're working on it. We're trying. But that's the impression. You know, that's the impression that they don't see the behind the scenes. They don't see the kitchen scenes. Right? They don't see what's going on in the kitchen. But that, you know, that comes ultimately from, even if there is a bit of commotion in the kitchen, the motivation is, okay, let's do this nicely for Krishna. Let's offer Krishna the best. It's not here for our enjoyment, it is here for Krishna's enjoyment. Then naturally, because we're Krishna's servants, then, you know, we get to drive in the chariot. Or, you know, we live in a very opulent surroundings. Because we're the servants of the king, if you like, the servants of the first person, that we get to also enjoy the same facilities. But the mood of the devotee is not, I'm here to enjoy the facilities, the mood is, I'm here to offer these. That just comes as a, I'm here to offer it to Krishna. What yat karoshi, yat asnasi, yaj jahosi, didasi, yat. Yat tapasyasi kuntaya tat kurushva manapanam. Krishna explains in the ninth chapter. Of course, the ninth chapter is all about bhakti. Whatever you do, yat karoshi, whatever you offer or give away, whatever austerities you perform, Krishna says you should do them for me. That's bhakti. So even sometimes we do have a nice car. Sometimes. Actually, you know, Prabhupada, I mentioned this the other day, Prabhupada came to Melbourne and the reporters complained, why are they driving you in a Rolls Royce? Thinking, you know, a devotee should be an ascetic. Right? Devotee should be renounced. Shouldn't use these material facilities. You should be detached from these things. How can you be driving in a Rolls Royce? Prabhupada said, Rolls Royce is not good enough. Tin can. Tin can. The representative of God should be driving around in a gold vehicle with jewels. Prabhupada criticized the modern society, you know, plastic. Plastic and tin, and you think you've made advancement. He said, you know, in the previous ages, like in the, he says, in the Red Fort, in the decorations on the carvings on the walls and so forth, and the paintings, then the bird's eyes, for example, were jewels. You know, this is the kind of opulence. Actually, Prabhupada was explained, actually, real opulence is gold and milk and grains, fresh food products, you know, cloth. No, Prabhupada says, not plastic plates and plastic clothes. Interesting. Plastic. Because, you know, they make saris out of synthetics. Rather than using cotton and silk and so forth, which is considered to be. That's real opulence. Not that you've got a plastic clothes. Actually, you're very dangerous. You know, your sari catches on fire, poof, you go up like a rocket. Sari or dhoti catches on fire if it's made from synthetic. It's dangerous, actually. So it's interesting. We were discussing this the other day. Things can be offered to Krishna. We need to keep ourselves detached from those things, but we can still use opulence in Krishna's service. In fact, the opulence is meant to be used in Krishna's service. It's meant to be used for that purpose. Not that we renounce it. So, thinking, you know, it's not ours. No, it's not ours It belongs to Krishna and should therefore be used in Krishna's service. And so therefore, here, Akura is going to use the brand new chariot in Krishna's service, going to further Krishna's lila by travelling from Mathura to Vrindavan to pick up Krishna and Balaram for some sports. Some sports in Mathura. Kamsa's thinking he's going to kill Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram are going to demonstrate otherwise and have some fun at the same time. Okay. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes. Sankirtan Yajna, as opposed to what do they call it? Ashvamedha, Rajasuya, what's a cow sacrifice called? Gomeda Yajna, yes. Sankirtan Yajna is recommended in this age, yes.
So whatever you use, like you have to sacrifice in Sankirtan Yajna?
Sankirtan Yajna, yeah. Yes.
So you made very strong points like whatever you earn, whatever you drink, whatever you do, it has to be sacrificed. So can you explain more?
For the Sankirtan Yajna? Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda appeared in Gaudadesh. It's described like the sun and the moon. Lord Chaitanya is like the moon, is it? Like the sun. Lord Nityananda is like the moon. But they call him Gaura Chandra.
And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be
the moon. That's what I'm thinking, but anyway, we can clarify that. Whatever. Like the sun and the moon, to dissipate the darkness of ignorance of Kali. Right? By distributing the Sankirtan, the knowledge of Sankirtan Yajna. Right? So Sankirtan Yajna is basically the glorification of Krishna. It is epitomized in the chanting of Hare Krishna. But when you chant Hare Krishna, what does that mean? You're asking Krishna, please let me do service. Right? So, in one sense, we discussed actually the homework for my Bhakti Shastri students is to write down what was the homework, Prabhu Ram? Can't remember. Oh, no. Yeah, what preaching do I do in a week? What preaching do I do? And if I'm not preaching, what can I do to improve my preaching? Because Sankirtan is glorification of Krishna and giving people an opportunity to engage in the chanting of Hare Krishna, which means basically the opportunity to re-establish themselves in their relationship, lost relationship with Krishna. That's what Sankirtan Yajna is all about. And when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're calling out to Krishna, please engage me in your service. Right? So, the Sankirtan Jagya is multifaceted. It is not limited only to chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna is like the root or the, you know, it's the energy, it's sort of like that. You plug into the power station by chanting Hare Krishna, that's where we get our shakti from. But it means also service to Krishna. Sweeping the courtyard is preaching. So that when people come into the temple, they have a nice, clean environment that inspires them. Right? Temple room clean. Deities nicely dressed. Offerings prepared with love and devotion. And with all, you know, on time and all of the things that are required to make it a complete offering to Krishna without offence. So that when people come into the temple, they're inspired. Right? That's what a temple is for. A temple is meant to inspire people to elevate their consciousness. Of course, that happens. I mentioned to the devotees, one gentleman who, an Anglican priest, his first time to a temple, and he said to me, he said, I just feel something special about this place. Oh, that's right. The first thing he said to me, he says, that's the first vegetarian meal I've ever had in my life. It was fantastic. It was the first thing. And then he said, I get the same feeling as I do when I enter the Buddhist temple, because he's been to the Buddhist temples in Thailand. He said, I get the same feeling here that I got in those places. So, you know, utilising everything in Krishna's service, Sankirtan Jagya, glorification of Krishna, or preaching Krishna consciousness, can be many faceted. You know, it can be just cleaning the puja paraphernalia. That's, you know, so that the worship of Krishna is being practiced properly. That inspires, all of these things combined together have a couple of concepts in the temple. So that, do you know what I mean? So how we use it in Krishna's service is preaching. It demonstrates the efficacy of chanting Hare Krishna. We're chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna, please engage me in your service. It's not that we chant Hare Krishna and sit around and do nothing all day long. Right? So that's why chanting Hare Krishna is the impetus for then taking all of these things and engaging them in Krishna's service. Which is what we should be doing. So, you know, when people come, we say, yes, give a donation. Help serve Krishna. And people like to do that, naturally. They can't do it themselves, but they don't mind helping others to do it. That's, in one sense, that's the Brahmana's, that's the Ranaji. Everybody can live in a temple, offer everything to Krishna all day long, which is basically what we're doing. Not everybody can do it, but they appreciate it. Right? They appreciate it. They like it. They want to do it. And so therefore they give generously to those who can do it. And they get the benefit also. Right? We also directly preach to people. You know, here's a Bhagavad Gita. Please read it. What can happen is sometimes the devotees think, if I'm distributing books, that's the preaching. But cleaning the courtyard, that's not very advanced. We're the book distributors, we're the preachers. Right? We have to be careful of that. All of these things combined together make the Sankirtan Jagya. They all go together. So it's not, you know, that one is, Prabhupada says, you know, it's not that the pujari should think, oh, I'm better because I'm touching Krishna's lotus feet. I'm the closest to Krishna. And, well, he's the pot washer, out of it. Right? Actually, the pot washer, he's also close to Krishna. because he's at the bottom of the ladder in one sense. Humblest service, serving the other devotees, serving Krishna, which is a real mood of a devotee, actually. We're the servants of the servants. That's Lord Chaitanya's mood. Certainly was the mood of the Goswamis, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. So, preaching is a multi... Sankirtan, if you like, the science of devotional service, or the science of Sankirtan, as demonstrated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, is a combination of many things, actually. But basically using everything to serve Krishna. How's that sound? Very broad. We have to be. It's broad in its application.
Yeah.
Yeah.